Coming to you live from the second bedroom of Shane's apartment. This is the Shane and Scuba Steve podcast.
I wish you didn't tell me. Now I feel on the
spot. Well, now it's not natural. Is this your beverage? Do you have a beverage?
No, I already finished mine. I'm good right now. I have to drive, so.
Yeah, but I mean like water?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I appreciate it, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had beverages earlier.
I know. What are you having right now?
Well, welcome back to the Shane and Scuba Steve show. You're listening to our live reaction pod of The Last of Us Episode 8.
Live asterisk. Put an asterisk there. Because I feel if you say live, people would think like, oh, they're watching it right now.
Oh, no. We've just wrapped up.
Yeah. Which, when you're like, let's watch it like live and record, I was like, no. I'm not going to talk during the episode.
Pause every 30 seconds to see if hot takes.
Yeah, I'd be so fucking, I'd be pissed. And also, I'd be like, I don't think anyone wants to listen to that because it's just going to be like, oh, that's a good shot. Oh, that's a good shot.
Did they really kill that deer there? Do you think that was a live action PETA?
No.
PETA kill?
They can't do. No. That's not allowed. I'm trying to think of some movie where they did that, where they're just like, oh, yeah, like, don't worry, everybody. All the animals are. And they're like, they all died. All the animals. Oh, that was. There's a horse racing show with Dustin Hoffman a couple years ago. I think it was on, like, Showtime or Stars.
Okay.
But, like, I think within the production of a year, like, 4 horses died.
Oh, my goodness.
And, like, they stopped production because they're just like, yeah, like, this can't, like, keep happening. It's like, well, no, like, we're not doing anything to the horse. It's like, you're not doing. You're, like, running the horses over and over again.
It's no different than normal horse racing at some point.
To agree. I think, actually, I'm pretty sure there was a horse track in California that shut down, like, not long after because they're like, this is the 3rd horse in this year that's died, like, after a race. And they're just like, no, we're done with this.
I remember reading articles about that where everyone was like, what's happening to the horses and why is this so, why is this sport different than other animal racing?
Yeah, it's because the horses can't tell you I'm tired.
Please, no, don't. They just put them down.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what were you drinking earlier this evening?
It was Bombshell. What was it?
This is Greater Goods Bombshell.
That's what. Okay, thank you.
A blonde IPA.
An imperial blonde.
Yes, an eight point IPA.
Do you know where the term imperial comes from?
No, I don't.
So I believe it was Peter the Great of Russia had gone to England. He was doing like essentially a world tour.
Okay.
Which was pretty much going like, hi, we're Russia. give us gifts or maybe we'll fight you. But hey, we're just having a good time.
Yeah.
The English gave him porters and he fell in love with those. So he went back to Russia. But you can't get those same ingredients. You have to make them differently.
Naturally.
But then he also was like, these aren't strong enough. So let's make it stronger. Add more grain, which brings more sugar, higher ABV.
Yep.
So then it became an imperial stout. Oh. And now if you ever see imperial, that just means it's going to be a higher ABV.
Yeah, that's interesting.
There you go.
Yeah. Greater Good, known for their imperial beers.
Keep it in.
I don't throw over to cut that.
Nope, you're not.
If I don't cut that, I apologize.
You're keeping it in. You're keeping it in so they know, ooh, that's an imperial.
2 minutes and 40 seconds flat.
Keep it in. Yeah, I knew that. I knew exactly when I was burping.
I've wondered if it's possible to get a runtime clock for our makeshift studio. Unknown at this point.
I mean, we could, but I feel like... Doesn't the laptop right in front of you that shows our recording tell you how long we've been recording for?
It shows us, but it shows me, because it's usually in front of me, but it doesn't show you.
That's fine. I trust your judgment. The best is, here's what I love, is when we record remotely, and when we record it on our phone, it just has how long you've been recording for.
Yep.
And I can tell when you're like, this is going long, because you're just like, yeah. So I'm like, you're looking at the clock. Meanwhile, I'm just like, I got some other things to talk about. But like, no, like, I don't. These podcasts could be like 2 minutes. I don't like. We can go for as long or as short as you want. I want you to understand that.
It's always the. I look at the. It's like around a minute. I think it's usually minute 64 where I go. I don't know if we're gonna go for another 30 or another 10, and then we'll wind it down.
Yeah.
Sometimes we make the rundown. Sometimes we don't, and then. This is an evening, for example, we don't have a rundown.
I was going to say, when was the last time? I don't think we've had a rundown for quite some time.
Not a formal one, but like we text before.
Yeah, no, yeah, we do that.
We have a general idea. Yeah, one of us wakes up with an idea. Sometimes.
Maybe not podcast-worthy ideas, but definitely ideas.
I love waking up from dreams with ideas because I'm not in any state at like 5:30 in the morning. But I can go do anything with this idea.
So that's what Keith Richards did. He slept with a tape recorder right next to his bed. So if he woke up with like a tune, he would just like quickly like play it and go back to sleep. And that's how he did, I believe, Satisfaction. Like he just like wrote down, like he like just woke up and went dang 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 dang, and then fell asleep. And then he woke up the next day. He brought like that tape to like Mick Jagger. He's like, I thought of this last night. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. Let's try that. And it's like, that's what he just did, that shit.
That's fucking insane. Because I don't know what idea would I have that was good enough to create that.
See, part of me also thinks that's like heavy drug use. Like, cocaine, heroin, lots of alcohol and weed in your system, like to make you think like, I'll keep a tape recorder going at all times and I'll just have this ready. And then also have the ability to wake up from a dead sleep and just be like, and pick up my guitar.
Meanwhile, the harder part is that's his heart rate. That's all it was. It wasn't a dream rate. He just woke up and was like,
that was his heartbeat. You have arrhythmia, sir. You need to get that checked out.
That's why it was the drug use. Mm-hmm. So he was like, I gotta write this down real quick. It's like all I can hear in my ears is my heart failing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just like Edgar Allan Poe.
The Telltale Heart, really?
Yeah, exactly. Bum 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 bum. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Was it because he killed the guy and kept the watch?
No, I thought he buried him under his floorboards. I thought he put him under his floorboards to hide the body. And then that's like the stories that he can keep hearing the guy's heartbeat under the floorboards. I haven't read it. I did see an interpretive dance of it, so I feel like no.
Oh, I believe that.
I know. Most people would.
Like Telltale. That's the thing. Also, here's the thing. So we just came out of The Last of Us, where they deal with dead bodies frequently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Floorboards, terrible place to hide a body. What if it smells?
It's not what if it will.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this season and all that stuff. But
Well, back then, the wood was... They put thicker wood in the floors back then, so it was much... It didn't... It helped. And also, nothing smelled good back then.
That's true, too. I do feel like there's always those TikToks where it's like, oh, what's something that, like, going back to, like, the 1800s, like, put somebody in a coma? I think if we went back right now, you and I, they plopped us into 1776 Boston, the smell.
Oh, no. The smell is the first thing... Yeah, that's the first thing that would get you.
Oh, yeah.
I think they actually did that on a Family Guy episode where it was just like... They went to India and they're like, oh, this is going to be beautiful. And as soon as they stepped out, they're like, oh, this smells bad.
Because
this is like a crazy city that has like not a great like a sewer system. So it's just like, and they're like, oh, this smells horrible. No one talks about this part of the country. It's like, yeah, of course. You don't think about that until you get there.
It's an entirely different place.
Yeah, same as that town, Waltham. Smells like shit in the town, Waltham. Anyone from Waltham smells like absolute trash. And where are we recording right now?
Dallas.
Oh,
Dallas, Missouri.
Fancy
town.
That's why the flights were so cheap. Oh, is that why I found one?
No, see, because here's the problem. Because you have places like St. Louis, right? Mm-hmm. For example,
Missouri.
Mm-hmm. There's one flight from Boston a day.
Yeah.
To places like that, it's not cheap. It's expensive because you are being monopolized. You're air cattle at that point.
You haven't found a flight to Missouri for cheap. I could find one.
You think?
Yeah, but it's probably going to be one of those planes where, like, how much do you weigh? And do not lie about how much you weigh. You're like, okay. And
the last
guy
who lied had to sit in the back of the plane.
Well, I'm saying more so they're like, oh, you have to sit on the left. What?
No, that's like classic, like, flying. If you fly to, like, if you used to fly, like, Cape Air to, like, Nantucket from, like, Hyannis, that was a classic, like, okay, so Jack's going on the right, and the luggage can go in the back left, but,
yeah,
puddle jumpers, quite literally.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you fly on a seaplane?
I'm not against it.
How big of a seaplane would you fly on?
I don't think they have many sizes. I think it's
they do.
Okay, well, I think it's standard size and then like Bruce. What's the
Spruce Goose?
Thank you, Spruce Goose. I was like Bruce Goose, Bruce Springsteen, the Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce.
Yeah, no, I think those are the two sizes of seaplanes. I don't think there's an in between.
Okay. So like a small plane and then like a slightly larger small plane.
The Spruce Goose is not slightly larger.
We've done this before. Are you a helicopter? Would you go down a helicopter?
Actually, I was just talking about someone the other day about this.
Really?
I was like, I have no intention of ever getting in a helicopter.
I don't know if I do it either.
Honestly, it's Kobe is the reason I don't want to. Because it's like, no, he had the money to be in a good helicopter. And this isn't like meant to be like make a knock on him or the pilot, which was like, no. There's literally, if I'm not mistaken, there's a part of a helicopter that's known as the Jesus nut.
I've heard this.
That said, like, if that breaks, you will see God.
Well, yeah, because you're going to.
You're gonna die. There's nothing you can.
Things fall off.
There's nothing you can
point.
Do. But meanwhile, with like a plane, it's like, okay, the engines go out. Like you can glide.
Yeah, you are a glider at that point.
Yeah, and like I feel most like plane crashes, unless you're nose down, it's like, not like you. It's pretty still. It's pretty safe.
I mean, there. Yeah. I don't know about a helicopter.
Yeah, no.
The problem is, someone will offer it at some point. Like, well, it'll just be the sheer habit. I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
And you guys want to take a helicopter tour of the city right now?
No, not that, because that's always like the tiny fucking two rotor ones. And I'm like, there's no way I'm.
What about one of those planes that's also a helicopter where, like, it has propellers and it lifts off and then it goes that way?
Okay, so I've also read that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And there have been a ton of service members who have died in those when they were, like, testing and using that plane. But also, I've read that there's. That was more heavily promoted than the successful amount of flights that plane had. Yeah. So I don't really know where I land. If I have the opportunity, again, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Would you fly in the Wright Brothers original plane? Would you?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yep. I think it went 100 feet or 17 feet. How far did it go?
I think it was 100 to 17.
132 feet sounds right, and I'm going to Google it now.
I'm pretty sure it's over 100 feet, because if it was 17 feet, I don't think they'd be like, that was a failure. We didn't even fly. I threw it 17 feet. It's made of balsa wood and paper.
How long? Okay. The flight was 12 seconds long.
Yep.
120 feet.
Yep.
6.8 miles per hour.
Damn.
I've gone faster than that on a treadmill.
Yep.
120 feet's like 30 yards.
Good job. Look at that quick
40 yards.
Look at that.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% getting on that with Orville or Wilbur.
What's worse is that I just said, look at that quick math, but we were both wrong. Also, they never flew together because they would have feared that if they would die together.
That's fine.
Yeah, but that's...
But they don't care if I'm the third.
I know, but I just find it so funny to be like, what if we die together? Yeah, what if we die from 12 feet up moving 6 miles an hour? Oh, man. You're not dying. You're getting a concussion and a broken shoulder, which actually, you know, when you think about back then, a broken shoulder is the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. You were not recovering. Concussion, also, too, you might not recover from. They were going to let you go to sleep it off. And you don't.
True, but I was going to say concussion, there's nothing you can do for concussion other than just wait. So, like.
Yeah, stay awake.
The shoulder is more where they're fucked. It's like, ah, I'll never be able to shake someone's hand again.
What happened to Shane? Well, 20 years ago, when he was a young man,
29 years old,
broke his shoulder. Never the same. Never the same.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out how high they went, because you're right. Was it 12 feet of altitude?
No, yeah, it's probably like no more than that. I'll give you 40 feet at most, but no, it's not. They didn't get a lot of height because it's, you know, because their takeoff was like from the top of a hill. It wasn't like, they're not going from like the Empire State, which didn't exist back then either.
Okay, hold up. Here we go.
You got it for me. This is great. This is really good.
This is great radio. I'm sorry for that
radio
minor pause here.
Yeah. You said here we go. That's the
thing. I thought I had it, but Wikipedia is their Wikipedia is fucking long.
Really,
I'll be honest.
The people who created Flight, their Wikipedia is wow. I would never think. I thought there would be not. I thought it'd be a little quick little footnote.
I am just still on the glider section.
Yeah. There's a lot of information. You got to think too, Scuba. Between the first flight and the moon landing, 66 years. That's it. 66 years.
We haven't been back to the moon in 66 years. 50 years?
I think the last time we went to the moon was 74, 75.
So pushing 50.
Yeah.
Or at least the last time the government told us we were at the moon. We all know there's a base up there. That's what Newt Gingrich keeps pushing. He wants a base on the moon.
First powered flight. Mm-hmm. We're making progress here.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, we've got like, they just don't, okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a headwind of 27 miles an hour that day.
Oh my God.
120, as I said, 120 feet in 12 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No altitude. We've got no altitude here.
I don't, maybe you have to be above 100 feet to be considered altitude. Yeah.
Wait.
Actually, I think this is...
10 foot.
10 feet? Yeah, exactly. So I was going to say...
We'd
be
fine.
I know modern, at least today, I believe, like flight trackers and what's the... Radar doesn't pick you up if you're under... At least in the States, I think if you're under like 300 feet, it won't pick you up.
That kind of makes sense. Football field.
And I think actually it was... I forget what movie... It was Stealth. The movie Stealth, where it's like
oh,
that.
My goodness.
But I remember just like the computer just being like, oh, this country you're infiltrating. Their radar stops, doesn't go above like 400 feet. He goes, 400 feet. Okay, I can just fly in. Like, I don't have to worry about anything. Like, they have no rate. Oh, okay. We can just, cool. Great. Yeah. But, 10 feet. They didn't get height.
No,
yeah.
I think I would absolutely 100. If they were, well, no.
Matumbo could have swatted him down and gone, duh, duh, duh.
Yeah, right. Someone has jumped that. No, someone has 6 foot person with a 48 inch vertical.
What a goddamn dated reference I just did with Matumbo, a player who's
That's a classic GIF. I use that GIF like once a month.
Yeah, but I'm. But still, out of all the basketball. LeBron James, I could have said, but I went, no, Matumbo.
No, LeBron James never made a big deal about his like consistent blocking.
What are you talking about with a player?
He doesn't do the whole finger wag.
Because everyone knows that's Matumbo.
Exactly. That's why it's not a dated reference, because everyone knows it.
I don't know. I feel old saying Matumbo.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's a reference.
That's true. I hope our young, skewed audience gets it.
Actually, just speaking of TikToks and skewed references, do you get the TikToks of a dubbed version of like Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Donald Trump playing Minecraft?
Oh, I see those all the time.
They're the funniest fucking things.
They're great, yeah.
I can't get over it, honestly. It's incredible that I get just to, at this point, when I need a two-minute break, I get to just watch people fucking script write.
No, that's really good.
Current and former presidents playing
Minecraft.
What was
one that I saw? It was an AI of Trump and Biden arguing. They were just like, You're the Chad. I am the. He's like, no, you're the Doge coin. I'm blah blah blah. Just going back and forth. And she's like, the fact that you know that the dog's called this, that means makes you the Doge. It's like, no, yeah, but
it's very enjoyable. I actually got one. The former Queen of England, who's mm-hmm. now passed. She was in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of those.
Mm-hmm. I like one. It's just from Mass Effect, but it's a. Shepard Batarians are like an alien race, and it's just him being so mean to them. Like, I fucking hate these four-eyed freaks. I hope they all blow up. And people are like, I hope they all blow up. And it's like, Shepard, you're supposed to be the leader of humanity. I don't care if humans die as long as Batarians die. It's like, oh my God, Shepard. But at the same time, though, like within the game, it's like, that's not too far off. We definitely, yeah.
Staying true to the subject matter.
Exactly. Yeah.
They do what they can. Speaking of staying true to the subject matter, mm-hmm. we have two episodes of The Last of Us to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Episode 7 and Episode 8.
Yes.
Episode 7 is called Left Behind, named after the DLC for the first game, which this pretty much is the entire DLC, just a little added extra stuff. I don't know what the episode number 8 is titled off the top of my head.
We're finding out.
But you know, let's start with Episode 7.
Yes, let's start with Episode 7.
So Episode 7 picks up right after. Joel has been stabbed. Ellie has dragged him into an abandoned building. Joel is telling Ellie, hey, leave me, go back to Tommy, figure this, leave me, there's nothing you can do. Ellie says, she does Mutombo's finger, because Joel had just taught her that on the horseback.
Of course.
And then we get a flashback, we get to see Ellie prior to episode 1, and we see her at the Fedra base, training to be a Fedra officer. And during this episode, we also get to meet her friend Riley, who prior to this had left, because I don't think they're
being abandoned. Ran away.
Ran away. Oh, that phrase that we've always known. But then returns and tells Ellie, excuse me, everybody, tells Ellie, hey, I've joined the Fireflies. I'm going to go with them, but I want to have us have one more night in the mall and see the four wonders of the mall. But before we kind of dive too into the nitty gritty, what do you think of the episode, episode 7?
That was a very good episode. Yep. I thought it was interesting. I think it's a good, we're now at roughly 2 bottled episodes in this season.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, and it's good for a bottled episode. Yeah. It's good. Gives good background, good storytelling. I think viewing the mall from the idea of a 20-year abandoned child versus me in middle school is a very interesting and different subject matter. And then just addressing their partnership and also the opportunities for a Fedra trainee in 2023 Boston.
Yeah. I will say it is a bottle episode, but I think it's different than the third episode where that was just two characters who we don't see ever again. This is more like a backstory bottle, but still a bottle episode.
Yeah.
Though really, like I said, very interesting to be in that mall. I saw some response online that was just like, no, those are the malls in Boston now. No one goes to them. It's like,
honestly, though, when's the last time you went to a mall?
Probably like Christmas Eve, just like last minute, like shopping, just walking through like Providence Place, just like,
okay, I'll walk in there. Okay, I can get this scarf. That's a good scarf gift.
But some highlights of it. I said this to you actually earlier, where in the background in the mall, you hear all 80s music. Mm. And we learned earlier in the season from Frank that 80s music will be bad. Like, oh, we're in trouble. Like, look out. So the entire, honestly, when the first one came on, I believe it was Aha. It's just like, that's 80s music.
Something's coming.
No, at the same time, having played the games and also knowing like the story regardless, like, yeah, this episode isn't going to end with, oh, well, I had a great time, Ellie. Good night. Goodbye.
I'm a Firefly now.
Yeah, exactly.
Catch you later.
I also had mentioned to you, I would like that Riley is being told, like, the Fireflies, we've taken out Fedra in, like, 3 cities. Like, they've taken over. Like, it's theirs. Like, meanwhile, in episode 1, we hear directly from Marlene being like, Fireflies, we haven't won anything in 20 years. Like, so it's like, that's just a line of kids. But that's also what Fedra's doing, too. Is like,
yep.
And it's like, hey, like, we're the future. We can rebuild humanity. And it's like, no, you're all just trying your best to figure it all out.
Which is very, I don't know, I think it's that, this episode, the most recent one that we just watched, like, has reminded me that, like, shit does look really shitty, and mostly in the QZs it's looked bad, but, like, everywhere else has been, like, relatively, like, 20 years of basically just, like, disrepair.
Yeah.
You're 20 years into this fucking thing, you really think you're gonna rebuild anything at this point?
I think, if anything, at that point, it seems more reasonable at the 20-year mark as opposed to the first, like the 5-year mark. Because at that point, too, like now you have systems. You have, we see in Boston, there's a currency, like the
ration cards.
Yeah, exactly. And you also have a system of government. So I think it's out. And you also then we see, because we have like Tommy and his their entire
Jackson.
Thank you, Jackson. We have like their like town, so it's like okay, like there is. I think it's not outlandish the idea of rebuilding, but I think it's more so the notion of putting everything back together is out of the question. But I think everyone is like, no, there's a there's a chance we could go back to the Westerns. This is what it really much feels like, is like this is just the West once again. We're just like, there's a city. Oh, this is the marshal for the town. Or he watches everything, but there's still like no real rules. Also, before we kind of dive into episode 8, I really like that these two episodes really are just Ellie's episodes.
Both they are
filling in a little bit of her backstory, but also just like, okay, we're going to push like her development even more in these last two episodes. Trying to think of some other good highlights of episode 7. Oh, we have the electric stairs.
Yes.
Otherwise known as an escalator. But that's just another thing that, you know, we take for granted because we see it every day. But if you have someone who didn't grow up with any electricity.
Never saw escalators.
Yeah, but that's, I think, like, people even today, like, come from certain countries. And, like, I think actually it was some
story. Okay, wait, hold on. Yeah. Certain countries, every country has escalators.
No.
Yes.
Not every country. Okay, maybe every country has an escalator, but not every location, every area in every country.
I guess you could find an isolated person who's never seen an escalator.
100%, there's 100% someone who's
never
seen it.
Airports have escalators.
Not everyone's been to an airport.
That's true.
Yeah.
Malls have escalators.
Not everyone's been to a mall. Huh. What do you go to one floor? What do you go to one story airport?
Ooh. No, because most airports aren't one story because you got to do the arrivals and the departures thing.
You're thinking like big international, big airports here in the States, not tiny airports in like fucking.
Just say Poughkeepsie, Shane. We all know what you're talking about.
No, I'm thinking like, I don't know, like, I was going to say Laos, but Laos definitely has a two-story airport.
This is the thing. You say, think of a country.
Zimbabwe.
They have malls.
Madagascar. They have a one-floor airport.
I doubt it.
So they have no floors? It's just an open field?
No, they have, it's probably four floors.
Madagascar. I don't think Madagascar has a multiple floor airport.
Well, I look this up on Apple Maps.
Yeah, what do you want me to talk about? What about episode 7?
They bullied the guy who fucking found a bottle of real liquor and pills and ended it. That was kind of depressing.
Yeah, no, that is pretty sad. But hey, I mean, different time, different era. I did really like in episode 7, you know, Ellie's trying to convince Riley, like, no, stay, like, stick with me, like, stay with us. And Riley just being like, no, like, I had a family. You never had a family. You don't know what it feels to be, like, connected to someone, be a part of a family.
Yeah.
Maybe fireflies aren't great, but they can be my new family. And that's something that then when we see throughout the entire series so far, just Ellie is like, no, Ellie is on her own. Like, she doesn't have anyone. She doesn't know that way to connect. So I was glad that they brought that up specifically.
Okay, you might be right on Madagascar having a one-story
report. Come on. Don't be coming at me saying Madagascar doesn't.
You picked Madagascar.
Oh, I won the question. Oh, I did it right. Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah?
You might be wrong.
Never.
They have an international airport that I was unaware of before.
Yeah, it's only international because it's multiple nations. Because, you know, you can get from any. Yeah, so. It's international because it's an island.
Yeah. No, they do have just some domestic airports.
Yeah, but yeah.
Air France flies there.
Yeah, of course Air France. They heard there was croissants. They're like, ooh. Well, there's croissants.
Oh, right, yeah, you might be right. This looks like it could be a.
Yeah,
yeah.
Of course. Come on, man. Don't question me. Don't question.
You picked an island nation with one airport.
I won. That's what you're saying. You're saying is I won. You're saying that I beat the system and I won. I didn't cheat.
So now what
I'm
learning is that I have to become a Madagascarian and build a second story on the airport.
No, just invest in the. You don't have to be a Madagascarian. You can just, you know, be like, hey, I want to make a donation for a second story on your airport.
It could just be a one room story. Technically, I'd win then.
No, that's like an annex, like how certain schools instead of expanding, they're like, we put a couple of trailers outside. That's where you take Spanish now. It's like, that's not all right. Weird.
Oh, in college, it was those weird rooms over by the parking lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, you know how I'm not allowed to walk outside the building throughout the school day, but I can to go to my Spanish class. Okay, great.
I thought the arcade was a great scene.
Mm-hmm. Arcade's really
where,
good.
Where yeah. they're playing it, playing the. Playing the games.
Yep.
Which also that too, like all of a sudden she jerry rigs the power and it's like the mall's fully functional. The merry-go-round works for a while. Yep. The Victoria's Secret gets lit up. And then the taco stand where they're just full of bombs.
Yeah. Of course, that's where you put the bombs.
But they're not going to use it on fireflies. Definitely not on Ellie because Riley has some form of power already with the fireflies after 2 weeks.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, she's a lot of pull. Well, I think probably the reason the show has any pull is that the fact that it's like, we're losing. Like, they're telling her, like, we're doing great, but it's like, no, we're losing. So that's why this kid has power, because it's like, okay, you're a lieutenant now.
It's recruitment dreams.
Exactly. Yeah. But the episode ends where they're attacked by a clicker or an infected. And
no,
both...
definitely a clicker. That was a pretty well-developed infected.
But did it have eyes? I think if it doesn't have eyes anymore, then it's a clicker. If it shows its eyes, echolocation. It's just... Exactly. But regardless, they both get bit. And then they decide we'll wait it out together and we'll see what happens. Well, I think we do know what happens because we're on episode 7 and Riley hasn't shown back up. I'm still...
Nope. Still, and Ellie did, though.
Fingers crossed. Maybe maybe she's on her way to the next scene. But the episode 7 ends with Ellie finding a sewing kit to stitch up Joel, who's been bleeding out this entire time. Actually, it's funny because the episode starts with her giving someone stitches, and then she has to give another person stitches.
15 stitches to Bethany.
Yep, exactly. But honestly, I really liked episode 7. It was a nice little break of pace to go back once again to fill in Ellie's backstory a little bit more.
Some people called it weak.
I can probably see that. I think, I don't know where else you could have had these flashbacks other than, like, because once again, this was DLC in the games, so maybe, like, this could have been a season 2 episode, but I think this is probably the best point where you could have it, where it fits a narrative where it's like, okay, Joel's hurt, she's, like, frantic, like, just thinking about things and whatnot. Yep. Because probably if this was, like, the second episode, we'd all probably been like, what the fuck? Like, no, like, why are we doing this? Like, I want to see, like, where they're going. I don't need to know what happened to Ellie. But
it is a 9-episode first season, though. Yeah. So technically there is an odd person out, like an odd episode out.
Yeah.
I think this one will go down as the odd episode out.
I think, honestly, I think episode 3 will probably go down as the odd. Only
you think?
Even though it's a good episode, that has... really nothing to do with our characters who are falling out the entire thing.
Yeah, true.
So I think that's kind of going to be... I think in the long run, like, people might be like, you can skip episode 3 in the sense that it's like, it has no narrative development for our characters.
The car,
well, true. But at the same time, I'm just thinking more like, the majority of that episode is just Frank and Bill, which it's a great episode. But I feel like...
Yeah.
I feel if I were to do a rewatch, like, there would probably be I probably would either skip 7 or 3, but okay. I probably more than likely might skip 3 just because it's like, okay, episode 7 is all Ellie. And once again, in Boston, in a fucking mall. What mall do you think it was? You think it was at the Pru?
Cambridge Side.
It's Cambridge Side?
Right. Closest mall I can think of to Boston.
Maybe the Pru. I think it's the Prudential. Maybe the
Pru's not big enough to have merry-go-round.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, I like to think it's, yeah.
You can hope.
Maybe in 2003. Were we there in 2003?
2003, the Pru had a food court.
But did it have a merry-go-round?
Doubtful.
But you don't know for sure.
That's true. This is true. Mm. This is true. Don't know for sure. You didn't know for sure that Madagascar only had a one-floor airport.
I did.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Just got to do a bunch of international development work this week to get a second airport. A second story.
Like second airport. No, that doesn't...
There's like 6 airports I've just found out. I'm going to be an expert on Madagascarian aviation next week. Anyway, what else? Oh, Ellie and Riley share a kiss, which I feel like we haven't addressed yet, but they did.
Yep.
I got nothing to add on that. I think it's great.
Scale of 1 to 10, how good was the kiss, do you think?
That's up for them. It's up for the characters. You're a perv. I just said it's up for the characters. I'm not sharing anything.
You're a perv even thinking about
it. You brought
that.
It up.
Dude, you're the perv who made me think about it. You said before this episode, you said, Shane, bring up how they made out. You were like, Shane, oh man.
Did they? I don't think that's what it was.
That's what you said to me. You said, Shane, and you were like biting your lip and like you're like gripping your fist and you're just like, oh, Shane, I want you to bring it up. And I said, Steven Caruso, I don't agree with your beliefs, right? And you go, oh, I want to talk about those girls kissing. Mate. That's what you said, Steven. And Erica was very upset about it. She went to the other room because how aggressive you were becoming around us.
Oh, that was because we were playing Switch Sports.
You pushed me against the wall, and you said, we're talking about the kiss between these two girls.
That's why it took 28 minutes for it to come up.
Exactly. Yeah, because you've been edging yourself. You've been just fucking like... Well, you're so right. Ladies and gentlemen,
I can't stop laughing.
Steven does not have any pants on right now, and
shorts.
He is, like I said, Steven does not have any pants on. I said
short pants.
Steven doesn't have any pants on, and he's just standing above me, and he's mouthing, talk about more about the minors kissing, and I go, Steven, I'm a Christian man, Steven. I don't want to.
Do you think David's a Christian? I guess he was reading the Bible.
Yeah, he was reading the fucking Bible. Yes, he said he's a preacher. Well, a preacher doesn't necessarily mean Christian, but yes, he read the Bible. He read the Bible. His first scene is him reading Bible verses. Yes, he's a Christian.
It's true. His flock did seem pretty weak, I gotta be honest.
Well, you'd be pretty weak too if you're in the blizzard and you have no food and you're gonna maybe eat something we'll talk about in just a moment. But what do you wanna give episode 7? Left Behind, Last of Us on HBO Max. Starring Pedro Pascal.
I'm gonna give it 743 out of 1,000. Mm-hmm. Bullying the guy who traded all of his ration cards for real booze instead mm-hmm. of fake booze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Moonshine, I think they called it.
Yeah. Not bad. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it 744 just to, you know, top you out of 1,000 photo booths and taking cute photos in a photo booth. Because everyone loves doing that. Everyone loves the photos, but they hate being that tiny. Why are photo booths not built for two people? They market.
They were made actually for passport photos. They just don't tell you that.
Yeah, but they market all outside the photo booth. There's a bunch of, oh, look at all these people hanging out and taking photos. Yep, there's never enough space. I'm always like, and they're like, oh, there you get closer. No, I'm good. I want space. I want to be able to breathe.
I want my distance. I want my headshot. I want it perfect. I want to tilt my head slightly, ever so slightly, to make better ones.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't we just take passport photos at a photo booth?
Quality of lighting.
I feel like you can control that for like all of that in a photo booth.
You can't forget teenagers mess up the lighting. They'll do stuff to it.
Yeah. They color in the Sharpies with like coloring the light bulbs with Sharpies.
No, I was gonna say they'll probably kick the screen and there'll be a crack.
If it's in the fucking post office.
Kids love because teenagers go to the post office all the time.
It's a passport photo.
I don't trust them.
That's fine. No one does.
I'd rather go to AAA and get my photo taken, which is what I did.
I got CVS.
I went to AAA.
The little roll-down screen.
They got for free because I did AAA.
Features.
Yep.
Benefits of membership, AAA.
Exactly. Gold membership.
That gives you a lot of towing miles.
I think I get 100 miles free, and then it's like a buck a mile after that.
Should happen sometimes.
Exactly.
Someone
whose car has been towed like 5 times in the last 4 months, yeah.
You never know you're going to need it.
Exactly.
Episode 8. When we are in need.
Oh, which is actually, that's on the banner at David's Camp, Silver
it
Lake.
Is.
Yep. But yes, we pick up. Joel has been stitched up, still not fully recovered. Ellie is trying her best to take care of him.
Yep.
Meanwhile, we follow a little group led by a man named David. David, who I know was in El Camino. And he's done a couple other things. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know he's in El Camino. He was one of the fake cops that picks up Jesse.
Yes, he's played by Scott Shepard.
Thank you. But David leads his flock because he's a preacher. And we later find out that this group of people are the group of people that attacked Ellie and Joel at the university. And that Joel killed one of their members. And now they want revenge. Which, throughout the entire time, like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we also learn later, spoiler, because I'm just kind of joking, they're eating, they're dead, because they don't
have no food.
They have no food, so they're eating, they're dead, and only a few of them know that. But in the back of my head, I'm like, I get, like, the vengeance of, like, just humanity, but it's like, this is the apocalypse. Like,
yeah, you went out there.
Yeah, you went out there. The guy went after him. It's not like the guy went, excuse me, sir, hi, we're from a, no, the guy attacked Joel and Ellie, and Joel defended himself, but they want revenge. But Ellie goes out hunting, takes out a deer. A big deer. When she first sees the rabbit, I'm like, you can't, if you shoot that thing with that rifle, the rabbit's going to explode. You're not going to get any rabbit. But she kills a deer, which then David and a character named James, who's played by Troy Baker, who plays Joel in the games, which was very nice. But he actually watched a little behind the scenes thing after the episode. And Troy himself was like, I thought I was going to be like a clicker, but they gave me an actual character, which was very nice. And it's like, and it was. It was very nice to see him. Though multiple times, like when he's talking, I just kept being like, that's Joel. That's Joel right now.
That's who you should be.
But we first get a good... The thing about David both in the game and in this show is that like, he does a good job of making you believe he's a decent enough guy.
He does.
I never buy into like, oh, he's the greatest person. But like early on, you're like, he seems reasonable. Even when like he tells James, go back to the city, like go get her the penicillin from David and blah, blah, blah. And
it's not code.
He's like, it's not code. Go do that. And then even lets him go. He repeatedly keeps saying like, no, well, we're going to let Ellie, like, don't hurt her. Like, take her. We'll get the guy. Like, don't worry about that. But She, you know, they talked for a little bit. We learned that David was a teacher prior, and now now a preacher. And I like, did like his line of like, "I found God after the apocalypse," which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But eventually, which we talked about, Ellie gives Joel the penicillin.
A lot of penicillin.
A lot of penicillin.
Just fills up the syringes.
I was like, did you figure out how much penicillin a person could take?
Okay, so supposedly, and this is the hard part because I was, there's a ton of kinds of penicillin.
Of course, yeah.
So one thing had said 10 milliliters per kilogram of body weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so like.
10 milliliters?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that's like, it's a lot.
Yeah. And I also wonder, and we see that it works, but I'm wondering, would you wouldn't direct, you wouldn't inject the penicillin right into the wound? You'd probably inject it into your like into your arm.
Is the Google had said the butt, the arm, like a fleshy part of the body?
Yeah, not the exact wound.
Because according to this, a penicillin shot. This is from MedlinePlus.gov, mm-hmm. which I think is a real thing. Or no, oh shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Something else, but penicillin cleared an infection in like 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah,
so. Makes sense.
Yeah, is why he got well, was able to actually start moving and at least beat the fever. David sends out his team. They find Ellie. The horse dies, which I laughed when the horse showed up. I was like, oh, they sold the horse. I forgot about
pulled out of a garage. It was like it was a Geo Metro.
Yeah, which honestly, at the same time, I was like, I understand why not killing the horse. You're probably thinking like, when I get Joel up, we're going to need to start moving again. But I was like, kill the horse. Kill the horse. Take that meat. But maybe Ellie's just like, no, I like the horse. I can't kill this horse. I like it.
The mode of transportation at that point, I don't think you're going to. And like eating horse meat, I think even 20 years in, people are just like, man, I don't think we eat horse.
Eat bullshit. In the apocalypse, I'm not going to go.
Well, here's the other thing. They took the horse. They fucking David and his band of merry misfits shoot the horse and take the horse, which makes, I agree, makes 100% sense.
Yeah, that's a lot of meat. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
But
I was doing the math in my head. I think I don't know like what calorically it is, but like the average serving when you go by something like the food guide thing is like 4 ounces of meat is like a deck of cards. It's like a serving of protein, a meal. I was like, okay, if you have 3 meals a day, you need 12 ounces of protein a day. So then every week you need like 84 ounces of meat.
Yeah.
Absurd.
And divide that by 16, how many pounds is that?
4-ish.
Yeah, like 4.5 pounds. Yeah.
No, 5-ish, sorry.
Okay, 5 pounds. 5 pounds, yeah, that horse, definitely enough for 30. Oh, I think it was like 30 people too in their camp. Yeah.
It was like 15. That was not a lot.
Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely. We see James is going to kill the kid, which once again, they show David being a good guy, but like, leave her. Like, she's a kid. Like, she didn't do this. Like, it was the guy. But David says, okay, we're going to take the horse and the girl, and you guys, if you want to find the guy, you guys can go get your vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Which they do not get their vengeance, and instead...
They fucking don't.
Yep, Joel wakes up, and he starts killing fools, and he does his technique, which we actually see in Last of Us Part 2, which is something that he does where he tells someone, mark where your place is on the map, mark your camp, and if you're lying, this guy's going to make sure I know. Mm. And he kills him anyway. And the guy's like, wow, he was telling the truth. He's like, I believe him. And that's just how dark Joel can be.
Yeah.
But then we learn that, and we already kind of said this, but yeah, Dave and his people are eating. They're dead. Because,
cannibals.
Yep. Ellie sees an ear on the ground.
Like carelessness, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think the places aren't that clean in general. I don't think people are like, hey, make sure to sweep up when you're done. It's like, no.
If you don't want the rest of your camp to find out, yes, you sweep up when you're done.
I don't think everyone's going to that caged room.
That's the other thing, dude. That's the interesting part. Also, that cutting board had a weird dip in it.
Yeah. It was. Well, I think.
Like a very well used.
I'll say my best bet with that was that maybe that's actually something like, because we don't know what that room was.
20 years old.
It's 20 years old, exactly. I was like, in the back of my head, I was just thinking like, maybe it is really just like, and also you gotta think too, because all that, there's water damage and things are leaking.
Yeah. Maybe
when they came in, there was like eroding. But Ellie does the same in the game as she does here, where she bites David and then says, you're infected because I'm infected. Which gives her the chance to distract him enough to then take the cleaver and kill Troy Baker. Very
so sad.
But it was so sad. And then gets into a fight with David, where David shows his true colors.
Yes.
Where
his violent heart.
His very violent heart, where he was, you know, going to do some stuff to Ellie that I don't agree with. But then, luckily, Ellie kills him with a cleaver a bunch.
A lot of bunch.
I was a little upset when she leaves the building. She should have way more blood on her. Like, she should have it splattered on her shirt, her face. There wasn't.
It was an aggressive situation.
Yeah. That was like, awesome. When she walked out, I was like, Did she take a clean up? Splash her face?
You never know.
But then Joel finds her, and then they head off. They just walk into the woods, and that's the end of the episode. Episode 8. Solid episode. Really like Scott Shepard. Honestly, everything I think I see him in, I always enjoy.
Yeah.
And he did a phenomenal job in this, where once again, they make you not immediately hate David. You believe maybe this guy is like bad, but he might have still a heart.
Or yep.
He's trying his best to keep his people alive. Just, you know, of course, failing at it.
Mm-hmm. Felt like a very, very good Far Cry villain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In that. I just think it's interesting because he does ask James at one point, he goes, how many like deer, rabbits?
Venison, elk, and...
do we have left? And he's like, oh, yeah, I got enough for like 2 weeks, like rationing it out. And they're like, okay. And then Joel walks into like the wrong supply shed and sees like the horse. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, there's 3 hanging dead bodies here.
But no heads. They cut the heads off. Yeah. That's probably them being like, we can't look at our dead friends' heads all the time. No.
And the great foreshadowing is the first scene where he's like, preaching, and then you know they're like, when can we bury, you know, my father is dead, and he's like, in the spring when the ground's off, he looks at James, and it's like, at that point I was kind of like, oh, that's a weird look to be like in the spring, right?
Well, at least, you know, he probably at the same time, that was probably true, like that probably, like, he's using it as an excuse, yes, but he's probably like, we can't dig a hole right now, like it would take weight, it would, like,
yeah, but what are you gonna do in the spring? Just be like, this bag of rocks.
My best guess is what they're probably gonna do was like just have a coffin built, or like put a bag and like fill it up and make it look like, okay, we dug the hole, like, let's put it in there.
How many people do you think know that it's not deer?
I think it was probably all the dudes that went with David and James to hunt. I think they're the ones that know.
Mm.
Because they all of them are like, kill the girl. And they're probably just thinking like, kill her, there's meat.
Yeah.
And then when they get back the first night, when they bring the deer in and they have dinner, like, you see everyone like scarfing down the food because they're so hungry, but James is taking like very tiny, slow, deliberate bites because he's like, I know what this is.
Yeah. They do say, like, what is this? It's like, okay, it's venison.
Yeah. Sure it is. Yeah. And then they walk up with a deer and it's like, that's not
bad. No one was excited. I figured people would be excited, be like, oh my God, we have like a 180 pound deer.
Yeah, I know. Maybe. I think it's probably just because maybe it's also by that point when we don't see this too much of the group, maybe it's like the group, as much as they follow David, they're just like, we don't like him. Like,
we have to be here.
Exactly. Because then we see a minute later, he slaps a young girl who's like, but mentally, the girl's like, kill them both. It's like, relax. Once again, the little girl isn't the one.
But also, like, I understand.
No, yeah, you get it. Yeah, her dad died. Yeah. Her dad named Alec.
It's so random. Then it's like that episode 6 ends. Mm-hmm. And it was like, just like, you know, nameless thugs.
Yeah.
So then you go to episode 8, it's humanized.
Yeah. I did like when Joel kills the first guy in that basement. Like, it says at one point, it's like, Jimmy breathes heavily. It's like, why are you telling me? I don't need to know this guy's name at all. Like,
subtitles.
No one says it. And then it's like later when he takes out the other two goons, it's like Marco and whatever. But I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, they're talking to him. But it's, it's just like, we don't need to know this guy's name's Jimmy.
I did think that scene was a little gratuitous. Also, but, like, David doesn't realize these people aren't coming back. I assume it's been a day or two
from when they leave. With Ellie and the horse?
Yeah, it has to be at least overnight.
No, I think it's supposed to be
that fast?
I think it's supposed to be all the same day because they said the night before they talked about, like, we're going to leave early in the morning, like sun up. They get there and it's at least, I'm going to say, no later than noon, maybe an hour to two. Joel's by himself at the camp, like, looking, trying to get those two people, and then walks. And because I think by the time, when it looks at, like, when they get there, when they're leaving, that's almost like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, sun's about to go down.
Mm.
So I think it's all a day.
Okay.
Mostly because you have to think too, he spoke to Ellie, like, he's not going to give her like, I'm going to give you a couple days. Because he's also like, I don't have that much food. I'm cutting up my actual own people. I'm just going
to. But they're dead though.
They're dead, but regardless, you can't let old people's meat doesn't last long, regardless of the cold.
They're just leaving. They think it's, I think they're using the heat, they're using the winter freezer.
We'll see.
It's over now, honestly. They're not coming back. That village is gone.
Well, no, their leader and James is gone. Just the building. Only one building caught fire.
I mean, yeah, but David, James, the three other guys that Joel kills,
mm-hmm.
and the kitchen building, their gathering hall.
They'll figure their own thing. Maybe we'll see them in season 2. Season 2, they come back for revenge. That girl who wanted Ellie dead comes back. She's the main villain next season.
Oh, you never know. That would be very interesting. They just run back through
They just happen to cut through that town in the next season, and they're like, oh, shit, I hope they don't remember us. Oh, they do? Oh, shit.
We're also keeping very close to the game.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, because pretty much in the game, this happens, and then we go in pretty much to the last mission, and yeah, we're going to the last episode now. What do you want to give episode 8 of The Last of Us TV show on HBO?
Give like an 845 out of 1,000. Came out so fast, I didn't think of anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, 845 out of 1,000, feeding your horse snow. She just puts the snow in the bucket and is like, here you go, horsey.
Yeah. Well, I think that was one of those where I'm like, maybe there's a quick time where she put it in the bucket and then like it melted a little bit and then she gave the horse to drink. Also, I was thinking like, what's the horse eating? The horse is probably pretty hungry at that point.
That's true too. Like, how are you going to keep the horse? Well, I guess the horse could eat like stuff like the leaves and stuff. I don't really know it's what winter. Horse is eating. Can't speculate that.
Exactly. I'm going to give it 846 as opposed to your 845.
That's fine.
Out of 1,000. Troy Baker. Just liked having Troy Baker in an acting role. It's very nice to see him in front of the camera, not CGI, computer animated, not just his voice. It was great. Not a lot to do, but you know, he was a character because he even like questions David a few times and just like, maybe it's God's will, and David just turning and just silence and just like, I'm not even gonna respond to what you just said.
No, David also can't lose the support of those people he had with him.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Great episode.
Yeah, I'm excited for the season finale.
Next week.
Yeah.
Season finale.
What are we going to do with that Last of Us?
We watch The Mandalorian.
That's true. Already came out. We got to watch that.
Yeah, I watched it today. First episode, 37 minutes. Not a lot. Not a lot there.
I wish I knew it was 37 minutes because I probably could have fit it in at one point probably today, but I was like, I know if I look at it, it's going to be like an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. Like, it's the season premiere. And it's like
82 minutes.
Yeah, damn. If it was 37, I could have watched it on my drive-in.
That's all.
I could have listened to the audio on my drive-in.
I have done that, I think, before. Yeah. Kind of feel like a podcast.
I can do that with movies, especially if it's a movie I've seen before. I could just listen to the audio and be like, I got it all.
I think for a while growing up, I thought that made the most sense. Like, why don't we just broadcast? Probably like after going to the drive-in movie, I was like, oh, this makes sense. Why don't we just broadcast movie audio? Like, why don't we just? And then I probably hit that point in like school where you're learning about like the serial radio programs and stuff, and I was like, yeah, all this just makes sense. And now we have podcasts, and that's the same fucking concept.
Yeah.
Oh well. These things happen to all of us. Yeah. We're at season one of The Last of Us.
Yep.
They've held true to basically the entire first game.
Yep.
Season two of The Last of Us could be The Last of Us Part 2.
I don't think it's gonna be Part 2.
You don't? Because it's a 5-year gap?
I think it's at least a 5-year jump between 1 and 2, if not longer. I think season 2 is going to be not a filler season, but they're going to fill in the gaps between the first game and the second game.
Okay.
Probably even take more like chances on like bottle episodes following X. Because, for instance, spoilers, the second game follows a different character as well outside of Joel and Ellie.
Okay.
But we want to go into that. But maybe now they could use season 2 and it's like, well, we're going to show a bunch of that character now.
Introduce the character.
Yeah. Fill in their gap now. So then when we go into season 2, it's not like a similar Boba Fett situation where it's like, okay, we stopped the story halfway to have 3 episodes following this new character that we don't know too much about.
Makes sense.
Now they could do season 2, have it focus on Joel and Ellie, like building their relationship, see how things progress more, and then also filling in those new characters we'll see in season 3, which would be part 2.
Makes sense.
Because also, once again, HBO, with the response they're getting now for the show, they're probably like, yeah, we're in no rush to finish. We don't need to make
this. Give us more. Make
we don't
more.
Need, yeah, we don't need a 2-season show. They're probably like, let's see if we can make this 4 seasons over the course of like 6 years.
I think they'll try. Just I hesitate to be like, we need to like create multi. I don't know.
No, of course. But at the same time, I think, you know, you want the character of Ellie to grow.
Yeah.
And Bella Ramsey's killing it in the show. But like, you don't want it, the next season to be like, okay, here's still this 16-year-old girl. Like, no, you want her to be an adult who, when she makes her own decisions, you're like, okay, that makes more sense. That's why Joel's now backing down. It's not him just being like, okay, whatever you want. It seems like, okay, no, you're an adult. Like, I'll allow you to make these choices. So, no, I still think season 2 will be kind of like the filler between the 2 games and maybe a bunch of bottle episodes.
Makes sense.
Or who knows? Maybe they'll do like an anthology type thing, like American Horror Story, where season 2 doesn't follow our characters at all.
Oh, no.
Or it does. It has Pedro Pascal still in it, but he's playing a different person.
I don't think they're doing that.
Maybe.
How long do you think before season 2 comes out?
Next winter. Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they plan on filming sometime this year. I think even Pedro Pascal, like a couple weeks ago, was like, they're like, when will you start filming season two? And he goes, soon. Like, I think he was like, it could possibly happen like this year. Like, nothing's like written in, yep. but like they're already working on it. So I'm going to say
2025.
And I'm going to say mid to late 2024, the next season comes out.
Could be.
Yeah. Because we don't know if a season four of Mandalorian has been greenlit. We don't know if a sequel to The Unbearable Weight of Immense Talent has been greenlit with him and Nick Cage.
Could be as well.
We don't know
that was fantastic.
If his episode of NYPD Blue, where he plays a guy named Viper, has been greenlit for a sequel.
He got a spinoff.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know if Pedro Pascal's character in Buffy the Vampire Slayer has been greenlit for a whole spun-off season.
Well, they're bringing Narcos back, too.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, really?
You got excited.
I like Pedro Pascal.
I want to watch that. I've never watched
it. You ever watch Narcos? No, oh, my God, dude. I haven't watched it either. Man, that's crazy. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
I like Boyd Holbrook.
You know that?
Yeah, he's like the opposite of the co-star with Pedro Pascal. He plays he was like the main bad guy, Logan.
Okay.
And he'll be in the new Indiana Jones Dial of Destiny.
Excellent.
And he was in the Predator movie, the latest Predator movie, which was really bad.
Didn't see it. It's Can't really say bad. I will either.
It's really bad. You want to know like the secret thing at the end?
No.
So you don't want
to? Oh, no, actually, yes, tell me.
So we learn that there's a super predator.
Oh.
Who like kind of goes from like planet to planet hunting species, and the ones who beat him, or he thinks are smaller, like smarter, he'll like take their DNA to adapt and be stronger.
Yep.
Boyd Holbrook's son in the movie has autism, and he wants his son, because autism helps you like read patterns and whatnot, and he like wants, he's like, that's the next evolutionary step, is the ability to like read all those patterns. So he's trying to get his son.
What?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, no, it's crazy. Yeah, it's just like, yeah.
That's, yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
We got to stop making some movies. Someone's got to start cutting budgets somewhere.
Yeah. It's a pretty bad movie. Not that great.
Should it be us? After we build that airport, the second story of an
you
airport?
You can build the airport. I got no problem.
We should have just cutting studio budgets. That is how it should have been made.
Put it into infrastructure.
Yeah, airports.
No, trains. Trains need it more right now.
100%.
No.
There's like another two derailments recently.
I know. Mm.
Shocking after that rail strike issue.
Yeah, no, that's why I take a trolley everywhere. No problems with trolleys.
Yeah, because they're just above ground.
Exactly.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So are trains most of the time. Mm-hmm. Do I tell the people where they can find us?
Oh, you can find us on a boatload of places. You can find us on Instagram at Shane Olson. That's just mine. Hey, you can see him, check me out on mine. Oh, actually, real quick, sad thing is I did a tour a couple days ago, and some person, I did not give them my full name.
Okay.
And they followed me on Instagram after a tour. They're like, I just followed you. And I was just like.
Do you have anything about you?
Like
your
my
bio?
No.
About working, where you work?
Nope. I just had, like, and I just told them my name's Shane. But they like, yeah, they started following me. And I was just like, okay. Very interesting.
Interesting.
I was more curious. I'm like, did they just like search Shane? And am I the first Shane that pops up on Instagram? If so.
You could be.
Oh, man, what an honor that'd be. Anyway, you can find us on Instagram at Shane and Scuba Steve Show. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Google Play at the Shane and Scuba Steve Show. And if you're there, everybody, give us 5 stars. Give us a review. Give us a thumbs up. Share us with your friend. Share us with your enemy. Share us with anyone you know.
A pen pal.
A penicillin pal.
So much penicillin.
So much penicillin. You can give them 10 milliliters per kilogram that they
allegedly
weigh. You know what? And then we'll meet in the middle. You can give them 5 milliliters per kilogram.
Allegedly.
You can give them 1 milligram per kilogram.
Again, allegedly, but that's
you can give them, you can give them 1 milligram per kilometer they run a day. That's what you can do.
Allegedly.
For every kilometer you run, we will send 1 milligram of penicillin to a child in need. Loose. Not in a vial. Loose. Out of our hands. We'll make them drink it.
Did you ever play the bowl of rice game? Or was it, I forget what it's called. Yeah, I need to remember it. But basically, it was a, like a vocab or spelling game mm-hmm. on your computer. And every time you like, every one you got right was like 10 grains of rice and mm-hmm. so on. And then you built up bowls of rice mm-hmm. and that resulted in supposedly this group that ran the game doing lump sum donations of rice over time.
Mm-hmm. No, but I've lived more days than you've had grains of rice in your life.
What is that from?
That was actually a cut line from Shang-Chi.
Really?
Yeah, where that's like when the Mandarin is like, when he's at that village, a guy like insults him. The line in the movie is just him going like, "Watch your mouth to your elders, boy." But the original line was that, I've lived more days than you've had grains of rice. And everyone's like, why did you cut that? They're like, yeah, it's like too much of like, they're like, most people won't get it. It's like, oh, that's such a great line.
That is a great line.
I say that all the time to people, even children. They don't get it. When I yell at children, they don't get it. But
well, they haven't had that much rice, so you never know.
Exactly. I keep pushing. I go, you need to eat more rice.
You're not catching up.
Yeah.
That's our episode tonight, folks.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Later.